Thank you for the music. Thank you for the music, for the spirit, for the singing, for the effort, for the lovely voices. Thank you so much. It's such a gift. It really is. Thank you. We live in anxious times. The Taoist saying, "May you live in interesting times," is actually a curse, you know? If things get much more interesting, what are we going to do, right? In his book, Leadership in Anxious Times, Ed Friedman talks about what does it take to be a leader when things are awful, when things are difficult? What are the qualities of leadership that will help our siblings and us move into a brighter future? Unitarian Universalists are called to build the just and loving world. Where is that written? Why is that our responsibility? It's in our heritage. It's in our DNA. It's in our blood. We are called to build the just and loving world. So how do we do that? How do we be the leaders that we need to be? Ed Friedman says that it's through presence and functioning alone that leadership happens. So what does that mean? Presence means by my very being, by your very being, who you are as a genuine human being with all of our flaws and all of our grace and all of our blessings. That's how we will lead, with vulnerability and courage. And courage to make mistakes. It's okay. We can't be so afraid of making mistakes that we don't do anything. Every decision that has ever been made by any generation becomes a problem for the next generation. It's the way it works. It's like, this used to be a good idea. Now, not so much, right? That's the way it works. So I've had a delightful weekend with over 20 people working on leadership. And I don't want to embarrass them, but I'm going to. So it would be lovely if you guys stood up. There are 14 youth who are from three congregations. It is Greenville, thank you, you guys. It's Greenville, Charlotte, and Spartanburg. And how many adults worked on this weekend? Are any of them in the room, or are they all downstairs doing other stuff? Okay, there you go. They're the worker bees behind the magic, right? Well, there were a whole group of them, and it was not smooth. It was not easy. We made mistakes. We dared to make mistakes with one another. And what was beautiful about it was beautiful, it was amazing, it was moving, it was touching, it was deep, it was difficult, it was a struggle, it was all of those things. Because that's what it is to be human, that's what it is to be a leader. I've said this over and over again, and I'm going to say it here, and then I'm going to tell a little bit of a funny story about it. So one time, I used to say, the struggle is so important. We really value the struggle as Unitarian Universalists. And then I often say, would we really want anything that we didn't have to struggle to get? And some guy in the back said, yeah, I'd like something easy for a change. That would be really nice, you know. But this is hard work. This is not easy. It's relationship building, it's messy, it's human, it's difficult. We'll get it wrong. And when we get it wrong, we have to say we're sorry. We have to ask for forgiveness. And then, when others are wrong, we have to freely forgive. That's what covenant is all about. So we, as a covenantal rather than a creedal faith, have to operate in forgiveness all of the time, because we are going to constantly break our covenants. Oops, messed it up. Oops, did it again. I'm so sorry. I'm trying the very best that I can. So how do we be the leaders that we need to be and understand what we are called to do in the world as it is right at this moment? We have to be clear about why. So being a leader means that you have the clarity of your values. So if we are the people of love and justice, if we are salesmen of hope, if we are a joyous people, how do we move out into the world to literally be our siblings' keepers? So, we talked about this weekend too. Everybody knows the golden rule, right? What's the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. What's the centerpiece of that statement still? It's not a bad statement. But what's the centerpiece of it? You. It's all focused on me. So, this naturally assumes that you would like to be treated just like I want to be treated. And that might not be true, right? So if we're truly going to be our siblings' keepers, we have to enter into relationships with curiosity rather than fear, right? We have to be unafraid of building relationships with people that we may have very little in common. We have to be unafraid to talk about what we think is real. We have to be kind, but maybe not always nice, right? So how many of you are from the Midwest? Yeah, me too. Yeah, Midwest, nice. Southern nice is weird, is different. It's weirder, you know. Southern nice is, I used to work with this woman where she could say things. It was amazing. She would say, honey, we just don't do that here. And people would stop doing whatever they were doing. It was just really amazing. She was like steel magnolias. One time she said to this guy, honey, does your mama know what you're up to? And he started telling her where his mother was and what she was doing. And, oh, my God, she doesn't know what I'm doing. You know, I mean, it was just this wild thing. So bless your heart. You know, I mean, these are, bless your heart. You're just trying so hard. You're just wrong, you know. So Southern nice is different than Midwestern nice. You know, Midwestern people suck things up and keep things inside and pretend it's all okay, and it's not okay. So nice can turn out to be kind of phony, can't it be? Can't it? So sometimes the kindest thing to do is say something difficult to somebody. Sometimes it's for them, and it's hard for you to do, but sometimes that's the kindest thing. When you do that thing that you do, here's how I react. So we have to enter into relationships with courage, curiosity, and kindness. Seeing the other not as weird and unknowable, but as interesting, deep, amazing, right? And so we enter into the relationship with curiosity and questions. What's it like to be you? What's it like? Even if we look a lot the same, we are so different. What's it like to be you? What's it like to be me? Would you like to know what it's like to be me? Enter into every relationship that we go into with curiosity, courage, and kindness, asking deep questions. So the association has been struggling. You've got wonderful pictures all over the foyer about how we are going to look at our brothers and sisters of color. The association has been struggling with white supremacy culture and what white people hear when they hear those two words is you are a white supremacist, right? when that's not what it means. So I was at GA in 2005, and it was in Fort Worth, Texas, and there had been some kind of a racial blow-up with a group of young people. And I had just gotten there, so I didn't know that any of this was happening. And I come into the hotel lobby, and there is a very young, tall, incredibly handsome black man. He's young, black man. And a woman who's older, white, kind of gray-haired, you know. Probably my age, but she has gray hair. And she is crying, and he is talking very loudly. And when I walk up to them, because, you know, I always end up going, "Hi, guys, what are we talking about?" Right? So I walked up to them, and he turns to me and he says, "She thinks I work here." And he's mad, right? And she looks at me, and she's got tears in her eyes, and she says, "I can't figure out the elevators." Now, this hotel had elevators that one set of elevators only went to the odd floors, and another set of elevators only went to the even floors. And she was on an odd floor and kept getting into the even elevator, okay? So I said to the two of them, "Hold everything. I walked with her. I showed her the elevators. She got on the right set of elevators. She was very upset. He was so angry. I turned back. I wanted to talk to him. I desperately wanted to talk to him. And so we began our conversation, and he, within three sentences, said to me, "Why should I listen to you? You're just some old white woman." And I went, you know, I got this. I was triggered. And I thought, why? Where was the insult? I was old, much older than him, okay? I am obviously present as white, and I'm a woman. Am I ashamed of any of these three things? No. So why did I let that trigger me? It's the same reason that people get triggered when they hear the term white supremacy. Or one of the other realities is that we're afraid as white people that somebody's going to tell us we're racist. What's the answer to that? I know. I'm trying the best that I can. We're all racist. We're all misogynistic. We're all elitist. Paula Cole Jones, who's one of my colleagues, does this workshop where she talks about the fact that the entire culture of the United States of America is focused in on the rich, the famous, and the powerful. Almost like that's the meaning of life. Do any of these people die happy? No! Name one. I really, really tried to think of a rich, famous person that had died happy. If they did, they didn't let anybody know. Okay? So what she says is that the media, everything, keeps us focused in on those folks. Like that's the answer to life. Like that's the meaning of life. And if all we did was take that focus and turn it around, and then figure out in our own clarity what we're being called to do. Not because we want to do it, because a calling is not necessarily what you want to do. Jonah hides in a great big fish rather than do what he's being asked to do, right? So it isn't that calling is necessarily the thing that you want to do. It's the thing that you find, that the people, that creation, that the holy, that the divine asks you to do over and over and over again. This must be my calling. This must be what I am asked to do. And so as we try to lead in these incredibly difficult times, we are going to make mistakes and we are going to be called names. If we could be triggered less and less by being told that this is a white supremacist culture. It is. We left England mad at the king and came here thinking we were God's new chosen people. We did this. This is Unitarian. This is the history of Unitarian Universalism. Of Unitarianism, it's the Puritans. They're our ancestors. They became Congregationalists later. And we didn't take care of the people who were already here. Now we've got a time. That was a decision that was made way back then. Look, it was a mistake. That was wrong. How do we take care of those mistakes? Unafraid. We didn't do it. But we have the opportunity. This is a great opportunity for us to make it better. For us to own all of our past, not just the pretty parts. All of our past. Because it leads us to where we are right at this moment. How do we welcome in new leadership? How do we recognize our partners? And here's the really good news. We don't have to do any of this by ourselves. Look around. There are those folks, those incredibly beautiful young faces in the back. Look at this beautiful set of people here. Look at your partners. I'm your partner. Look at this, these people here, this building, out there. Look, out there, there's partners out there all over the place to help us build the just and living world. I am so thankful, grateful, every moment of my day, of my life, that you are my partners. Thank you. It is such an honor to serve. Knowing that I am serving the building of a just and loving world. Thank you.